So the first talk in this session will be from Domenico Giordano from CERN. He is helping me and Manfred in the, chairing the benchmark working group on EPICS. So Domenico, you can start whenever you want.
Yes, can you confirm me that you hear me?
Yeah, sure. We can hear you.
Okay, great. So I suppose that you are on the title slide, so go to the next slide, that is slide one. As Michele has already introduced, this is a report about the activity of the EPICS benchmarking working group that involves representatives of the four LHC experiments and several sites. The mandate of the working group is mainly covering two areas. One is related to the EPSPECO 6 benchmark and the investigation of the current scaling issues that are seen in the comparison of the performance of EPSPECO 6 respect to the CPU intensive workloads. I'm referring here to event generation simulation. And at the same time, it's related also to the investigation of past benchmarks that have been recently introduced for several reasons, in particular to estimate the performance of the job slots in batch farms or in VM instances in cloud environment. So go to slide two. So if you are interested to follow the activity of the working group, there is a new wiki page that you can access and follow the different area of work. In particular, here we document the procedure that we are following and also the findings. Some of them are reported in this talk. Slide three, please. We have recently reported our findings in two main meetings at CERN, the pre-GDB in February and the average GDB. You will find the links here in this slide. This is to tell you that essentially the next slide will highlight the findings that have been reported in those two meetings. So for who was following the GDB and pre-GDB, the information will be familiar. So mainly the outcome of our recent work of the past 6 months is going around the adoption of fast benchmark. And in particular, as I said, so there are two areas where fast benchmark can be used. One is to forecast the job slot duration and then check performance of VMs. In that case, there is a large consensus that experiments want to include very fast benchmark as fast as possible in their pilot and then get real-time information. At the same time, it's also related to the fact that if really fast benchmarks can mimic really accurately the performance of a node, then why not they should become a replacement of EPSPECO 6 that is becoming quite old and for which we are still waiting a new generation of spec. So about this, there are really large debates and also divergences of opinion, and I would try to highlight most of them and also the motivation why indeed the area of fast benchmark, or at least the fast benchmark that we have identified up to now, cannot cover the same aspect of a large and robust benchmark like it is EPSPEC, in particular because on the contrary, fast benchmark, they touch only a few components of the microarchitecture. So, next slide, slide four. What are the fast benchmarks that have been studied? So, we started with the five candidates, the Atlas KV kit validation, that is mainly a GEANT4 simulation of 100 single muon events that propagates to the Atlas detector. So, represent a real workload of an experiment. If simplified, the IRAC benchmark 2010 that was also known to other names like fast benchmark, LHCb Mars, but essentially is a Python script that includes a call to random normal variator, and that I will describe later in this talk. And then there were other benchmarks like the stress test and legacy benchmark like Weston and Drunson. At the end, during the activity, we focused on first two, so the B12 and Atlas KV, for the ability to reproduce the performance in the plot of the event simulation workload. Slide five, to convince you that for water KV, there is good correlation with the Atlas simulation jobs. There is this plot on the side that shows the correlation of the KV benchmark in the second experiment respect to the Atlas simulation. In obtained running in different kind of VMs, here in cloud, was an Azure cloud setup where we could run on several thousand VMs of different VM size and also CPU model. So as you can see, there is the first order quite good correlation among KV and the other simulation. At the same time, we have seen also that in the same environment, there is good correlation among KV and DB12, so this then translates to the fact that also DB12 and at least workloads like Atlas show good correlation. This is not the only evidence of good correlation. For instance, in slide six, you can see the similar feedback from LCB and Alice. LCB showed in the past that for what concerns the Monte Carlo prediction of the duration of the job, if the job duration is normalized to FSPECO 6, indeed the normalization factor does not take into account the performance that indeed is obtained with Intel Haswell CPUs. And this is the first top left plot, where you can see a bump in the distribution of the normalized job time. When on the contrary, you normalize by a benchmark like DB12, you have a better performance, okay? And Alice gave similar feedback. On the bottom plot, you can see how the performance of the Alice Monte Carlo job, so the yellow curve, matches quite well with the DB12 score. On the contrary, the FSPECO 6 seems to be a extremely discrepant, so of more than 50% respect to the performance seen by the jobs. It's also true that those plots come from the real grid environment, where there is a complexity in doing job monitoring and then translating this in benchmarking measurement, because clearly the job slots are not necessarily all filled, so the server is not completely loaded, as on the contrary it is when FSPECO 6 runs. And to convince you about this, we go to slide 7, where from the CMS test we have on the contrary a different feedback, if you want, about the performance of DB12 and FSPECO 6 respect to their simulation. In this case, I report results related to studies on a given machine, a dedicated machine, where the benchmarking activity was performed, so there are no additional workloads apart from the benchmark, it's an isolated environment. And there, there is a study ongoing to test the different benchmarks, so DB12 and FSPECO 6 versus the CMS job performance, in particular simulation with the backends. In the specific case of the chart that you see in this slide, in the top plot you see the score of the B12 where there is number of parallel processes that is increasing, so to reach you see that there is a curve that is monotonically increasing up to the number of parallel processes equal to the number of physical core of the machine. At that point, B12 saturates, first of all, so there is not improvement from the hyper-threading. And secondly, what you can see is that the error bar are quite large. That means that there is a huge variability of the results that indeed is related to the fact that clock frequency of the CPU is adjusted by the load, and B, the fact that there is a co-participation of course, like the fact that if a slot, given that the benchmark is quite fast, if in a core the benchmark finishes earlier than another, then this represents an additional speed up for.
Just a moment, Domenico. We lost you a few minutes ago. But we hear a lot of background noise.
Unfortunately, I cannot do better. So I have the microphone really near my mouth, and then the room is completely silent. So.
Ah, okay. It seems like somebody is touching the microphone. I don't know. Okay. You can start from a slide. You were at the end of slide 7, I think.
Okay, good. So you did not miss much. So I was describing the bottom plot of slide 7, where you can see the performance measured on Axion Haswell server. With FBECO6, with DB12 and TTPA. And what is interesting from this plot is to see that starting from the number of parallel processes equal to the number of physical cores and then going into the rightmost region that is the one with hyperthreading enabled, then what you see is that FBECO6 and TTBAR simulation jobs match quite well. On the contrary, the saturation effect of DB12 is evident that represented does not reproduce the performance of the TTBAR event. So going to slide 8, feedback from the remaining experiment, ATLAS, they have started the same kind of studies. Indeed, they have single core and multi-core standard candles that are essentially simulation jobs that can be used. So from the plot that are shown here, indeed, it's not easy to say that an application like DB12, a benchmark like DB12 is better respect to FBECO6. So more data are needed and will be presented in the future. Finally, going to slide 9 to make the final tour of the feedback about the performance of the different benchmarks. Here I present a plot that shows the performance of different benchmarks when we run in different VM sizes, in different configurations. What is important to see from this plot is that if we normalize to a configuration in which the hyperthreading is disabled, so the rightmost dot that is equal to 1, then what you see for the other ones is the effect of running on number of parallel processes equal to the number of logical cores. And what you see is that for FBECO6, the expected improvement there is again order 20% as seen in the several other measurements. On the contrary, for what concerns KV and DB12, we don't see this improvement. For KV, that again is based on GL4, we see an improvement that is up at the most 10%. For DB12, on the contrary, we see even a deficit respect to the performance that can be achieved with the SFT disabled. And this confirms what also shown in the previous slide of CMS, where you see that indeed the performance of DB12 saturates. In addition, Weston, that is completely different workload, profits a lot of the multi-threading at the level that you have a gain of 70% respect to running it in multi-threading and not in hyper-threading itself. So all those features like them, all those information gave to us the feedback that indeed DB12, that was what the preferred benchmark used in pilot, needed to be further analyzed. And then in the next slide, I will summarize what we have done at the level of the application profiling, the study of different Python version, and also the effect of different implementations. So what if we implement DB12 in C++ or use more performant Python library like Python. So it's slide 11. I summarize for who is not familiar with DB12 what indeed this script does. So this script runs mainly a loop around a random number generator, so a call to a random normal variator that comes from the random module, the Python random module, and then evaluate the CPU type run around this loop, where the loop runs for 1.2 million of times. Now, to cover the aspect of running multiple processes, then this function is spawned in, by multiprocessing module in a number of parallel processes that is configurable, and in general, as you've seen, reaches the number of logical cores. The idea to use a simple script started from the fact that this is just a loop around random number generation, and given that Monte Carlo jobs are mainly random number generation, then why not? And indeed, it seems that are quite well reproduced. Is that correct? So, going to slide 12, here I'm spoiling a little bit another presentation that will come soon in half an hour from Luca, where essentially I report the finding of Mark Wary about the study on DB12. He did a perf analysis of DB12, and then he highlighted that indeed most of the time of this application is not spent in computation, but is spent into a branch prediction activity done by the module PyEval frame. And this branch prediction gains a lot in the Haswell processor respect to the previous generation, as you can see from the plot shown here, where the blue curve represents the effect of the misprediction in Haswell respect to the case of the black curve of IBM. So the fact that there are less branch mispredictions implies that the code is faster, okay? So the fact that DB12 has a boost in the recent CPU model, Intel CPU model, is indeed related to the fact that a component or the front end of the CPU has been improved. Okay. Going to slide 13, give you another idea of how things change if we implement the same application using other approaches. So we have done studies with implementing the same DB12 application in C++ or using NumPy. And the effect there, as shown by this table, is that the libraries that are then mainly dominating the duration of the call of the libraries that are mainly dominating the duration of the process in C++, like in NumPy, are really the one, the mathematical ones, and not, as said, in DB12, the calls to the libpy. This affects also the scalability across different configuration of the CPU models or different OS system when you use a DB12 implemented in C++ or in respect to the standard DB12. This is shown in slide 14. You see, for instance, the effect of having running DB12 with different Python versions and running DB12 in C++ in different OS. That are the same operating system that were used with the DB12 Python version. So what comes out from this study is essentially that indeed changing Python version change a lot the scores of DB12. This is up to 10-18%, we don't see the same variability when we run in C++, so the effect is around 3-4%, up to 5% if you move to a Debian OS. Okay, this is important because if you want to adopt a benchmark for procurement for long-term analysis, then you want a stable benchmark. Okay. So other feedback that comes from slide 15, and is the comparison indeed of different benchmarks, different implementation of DB12 in different hardware models. In that case, what is important to highlight is that indeed, this 45% of boost that is reported from DB12 respect to AppSpecco 6 is visible, in particular when you run in a condition where the number of parallel processes is equivalent to the number of physical cores. Means when you are not in the condition with the hyperthreading algorithms. On the contrary, the discrepancy respect to AppSpecco 6 or also the performance of the other benchmark implementation goes down when you move to a number of parallel processes that is entering in the region of the SMTO. Okay, slide 16. So, again, Mark did an extremely nice and accurate study of DB12, but also of KV. And what mainly highlighted is that, again, those benchmarks sometimes can profit of the improvement of the CPU front end. And this can affect in a systematic way the performance of your benchmark. For DB12, this was due to the branch prediction, but also for KV and then Giant, if you want, we can see an effect related to, indeed, to the instruction translation inside the buffer, so the ITLB. That seems to be the area of the CPU, the component that more suffer from the cycle spent by an application like Giant. And this is due to the fact that the libraries loaded into the cache are quite large. So the calls to adjacent block of code causes the fact that then you have to refresh your cache. And this can the performance of a benchmark. Slide 17 shows also is a confirmation of what was reported by Marco, who was studied under by Vincent Innocente, and he came to essentially the same conclusion. So in the case of simulation jobs like so based on Giant, it seems that a high degree of code non-locality. So all this part of the front end can suffer. On the contrary, the AppSpecco 6 is mainly angry on memory. Okay, so they are a different kind of application, and these clearly can affect the reproducibility of the job, particularly considering that AppSpecco 6 was validated essentially 10 years ago, and then the application and the experiment evolved from that time on. So this implies that it's needed to redo the same kind of validation and then to prepare setup for the future benchmark. Okay. So slide 18. I want here just to highlight the fact that we have done other studies. So Andrea Chabat will talk about this tomorrow. So I don't want to comment much on the aspect of the passive benchmark. But what is important to say is that indeed there is feedback about the fact that if AppSpecco 6 seems to be sometimes wrong in reproducing the performance of the simulation jobs, this is not true for record jobs. For record jobs, seems well, there is a higher access of data, so that the other components of the microarchitecture are stressed in that case. So what happens is that the performance of record jobs match quite well at spec, and discrepancies are order of 10%, do not reach for sure this 50% was important in case of the Monte Carlo. Slide 19, I'm arriving to the conclusions. What we learn from all the activity is that indeed we need to prepare again a test suite to study benchmarks and the potential success of EPSPEC 06. Whatever it is indeed, it could be an EPSPEC 17 if it comes out this year, or could be a suite based on experiment workloads. What is needed is to be sure that indeed this can scale with a given accuracy with the jobs that are represented for all the WSG application. And a lot of components need to be angled. So for instance, if you run in bare metal servers or in VMs, if you run with hyperthreading on or off, if you change OS or EPSPEC 06, if it is compiled with C64 bits and so on and so forth. So not last, there are other models that should be also benchmarked because it would be of interest for in the future in any energy business. So for all those reasons, what we intend to do is to prepare a test bed where we can perform reproducible studies. So this implies from one side to document the procedures, but from the other side also to identify the jobs that are really representative of the experiment and be able to run them systematically, even without the help of the support of the experiment expert at some point. So after that, everything has been properly. Okay, slide 20, so summary. As you have seen, so most of my slides were dedicated to DB12. This is because DB12 as a fast benchmark was the preferred one for several reasons. One is that it was reported to scale well with a single core Monte Carlo application of Alice LSCB. Indeed, through those deep studies, what we have highlighted is that potentially this agreement is accidental in the sense that it is dominated by calls to libPython and not the non-number generator. It has nothing to do with the random number generation. In addition, the application of the experiments are C++ applications, so do not profit from the same improvement of libPython. You've seen that DeepL still depends on the performance of different Python versions and does not benefit of the SMT enable that, on the contrary, can be still seen when we run an application like KV that is based on Jan 4. There are a number of other studies that are ongoing with DB12. Potentially DB12 can be used for when we use the Haswell and Doppel generation for the prediction of the duration of the job slot. We will have feedback about this also by the fact that experiments like Atlas and CMS are instrumenting their pilot to run the DB12 scoring, but we will be able to compare their performance with the production jobs. But the study needs to be indeed expanded to other benchmarks, okay? In particular, to the success of EPSPEC 06. And that's all.